The federal parliamentary year has ended not with a bang, but with a whimper, as a high-stakes game of chicken came to naught. The government avoided the damaging spectacle of losing a vote on the House of Representatives on a bill that would have made medical evacuations from offshore processing easier. But two key pieces of legislation, including the controversial encryption bill, appear to have been sacrificed along the way. Just a few hours earlier, the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, had insisted its passage was needed to keep Australians safe.
The Labor Party is not cooperating to pass important encryption legislation that would ensure that police, ASIO, other agencies, they won't have the powers to access encrypted messages which can help them thwart a terrorist attack.
A short time ago, the Attorney General was laying the blame for what happened firmly at Labor's feet.
Ultimately, Bill Shorten and Labor put a tactical political ploy ahead of legislation that would have enhanced Australian safety, particularly over the Christmas period. I am bitterly disappointed for the people that we serve.
Tom McElroy is a political reporter with the Australian Financial Review. Hello.
Hello, PK.
I think it's fair to say that it's been a hectic day in Parliament. What happened at the end? Are the encryption laws dead for a little while?
For a little while at least, the encryption laws which the government insisted must be passed before the Christmas break on the advice of the intelligence agencies, at the moment haven't passed both houses. They've been the last item being debated today in the Senate. The House has adjourned, and both sides are blaming each other for the failure here after accusing Labor of being soft on terrorists and pedophiles. The government played some tactical games, not wanting to be defeated in the lower house on the asylum seekers bill. They had to extend debate on the encryption bill in the Senate. It's one of those days where the more voters see what's been happening in Parliament, the less they will think of their MPs, I think it's safe to say.
I think that is a very good conclusion. I don't think anyone's really covered themselves with glory today, or both of the major parties, particularly with the tactics that they've been playing. And, you know, just a bit of a view there, but both have been playing a lot of politics here. Let's be clear, though, because there's a bit of confusion. Right now, the Senate is still debating the encryption laws, right? So is it possible that they could pass and become law? Because I believe that Christopher Pyne was saying that at some point.
My understanding is that it's not possible at this stage. They'll be back next year. Parliament's back in February, of course. But there have been amendments in the Senate. My understanding is that if the bill passes the Senate before it adjourns, which is imminent, let's say, it would have to go back to the House for those amendments to be dealt with. So while the law won't be in place over the Christmas period, as the intelligence agencies had asked the government to manoeuvre, it'll be back next year, even though we've got a short sitting period before the April budget and then the federal election we're expecting in May.
So let's be really clear here. We've got encryption laws, we've got the divestment power laws, to get power bills down, the government's big stick, and we've got the kids to protect, the gay kids protection against discrimination. All of those laws, none of them have passed.
That's right. That's right. It's been an unsuccessful week on each of those fronts. The divestment bill has gone to committee. It's probably not going to see the light of day. After it leaves the committee process in the Senate next year, there's only a very limited, I think it might even be as few as 2 days for Parliament, both houses, to pass that bill before the budget and the election. So it's probably safe to assume that we won't see the divestment, the so-called big stick energy powers against the energy companies, come into law next year. But the asylum seeker bill, speeding up medical evacuations for people held in Australian offshore detention on Manus Island and Nauru, will be back for the government to deal with next year. And PK, all of the challenges that the government faces in managing the parliament, the minority government, the fact that one or two MPs missing a vote could have serious consequences for the government, they'll all be back next year when we return in February. So perhaps the government's bought itself a stay of execution. It can regroup over the summer, maybe do some deals. But people like Karen Phelps, Cathy McGowan, Rebecca Sharkey and Julia Banks, the Liberal defector, are going to be pushing for this asylum seeker bill to be passed next year. So the tacticians on the coalition side have got their work cut out for them when we're back in the new year.
Yeah, they sure do. Now, a blame game has already begun. I've read the statements of both sides of politics blaming each other for this outcome. Who is to blame? I mean, you know, voters, listeners right now driving home or listening in their kitchens, cooking dinner, having a normal life, these people doing normal things, participating in this world, this country would go, hang on a minute. So what, did Labor really take a risk and not allow encryption to get voted on, or is the government, you know, right there, or is Labor right? I mean, what is the reality?
I think the reality is somewhere in the middle, both sides partly to blame. Labor had real concerns about the encryption powers and came under real pressure from outside the parliament to amend that bill or to avoid it passing at all, even to oppose it. Yesterday and today, Prime Minister Scott Morrison ramped up the rhetoric to, you know, as far as it would go, 11 on the scale, and really tried to pressure Labor over its national security credentials. But as the day played out, the management of the two houses and the legislative process became so complex that, you know, in the past few hours, we realised it probably wasn't likely that the encryption bill would come back. That'll disappoint ASIO and police agencies that want to use encrypted messaging in law enforcement. I think this is one of those days where the parliament as a whole has failed pretty badly. It's easy for us in this bubble to forget how important some of these things are. There are real lives at stake, you know, potential crimes being committed, people being held in immigration detention. And amazingly, we flick the switch and have Christmas messages from the leaders and off we go on our Christmas holidays. So it's no one's coming out in particularly good light at the end of today.
No. And as you say, in terms of the medical evacuations, yes, the government, you know, stopped this coming to a vote in the House of Representatives, so it's not law by the end of the year. But in February, the Parliament sits again. It has to come back to the House. So they can't avoid it forever.
No, that's right. We've seen the crossbench MPs who I mentioned earlier abstain on suspension of standing orders, which are tactical plays by Labor in the lower house. I think people like Karen Phelps will be putting real pressure on the government, saying if you don't deal with this appropriately and expeditiously next year, the minority situation that you're in will be very painful for the government. I think this bill will get through eventually, but there's some water to go under the bridge before it can do that.
Tom, just going there, you know, I'm a brainstorming kind of girl, just to be clear. Just thinking here. If the government keeps ramping up its encryption law rhetoric, and it will, I think, keep saying, you know, Labor's put everyone at risk, can't the parliament be recalled, prorogued, brought back to deal with it? I mean, if it has to be done by Christmas, like law enforcement agencies say, we haven't hit Christmas yet.
No, that's right. And as recently as lunchtime, there was talk that the sitting period might be extended into tomorrow. I guess theoretically, Parliament could be recalled, but the problems that we've talked about for the government as well as Labor probably mean that no one will want that to happen.
Right, and that's where Labor will say, hang on a minute, let the parliament sit again, right? I mean, if this has to happen, the encryption law has to pass, but you think the government will be reluctant, right?
Yeah, I think there are a few things at play. They like being able to attack Labor on its national security credentials. Equally, recalling the parliament brings back the immediate threat of an embarrassing defeat in parliament. The government will be satisfied that they got through the day without losing a vote, which hasn't happened since the 1920s, a substantive motion being lost for a government. So if they brought everybody back straight away, that threat would immediately reappear. I think MPs will be glad to get out of Canberra and probably won't be looking back this side of Christmas.
Just finally on it. Well, totally different topic, but still, you know, in the political space. Emma Hussar says, well, she stood up in Parliament and made a personal statement. She's, of course, the member for Lindsay, the Labor MP who is not being endorsed by Labor to recontest after allegations about her. She says she's going to sue BuzzFeed for defamation. Tell me that. Tell me about that. I mean, that's pretty significant, isn't it?
Yeah, it is significant. She has been attacking BuzzFeed for its reporting about allegations of inappropriate conduct by her and poor treatment of her taxpayer-funded staff. She was expected to make a statement today and stood up after question time and told the Parliament that she's started defamation proceedings against BuzzFeed and its reporter over that series of stories. She told Parliament that claims that she exposed herself to another Labor MP were not true. She strongly denied that all along, and she's raised questions about the internal Labor Party investigation into complaints against her. Labor is seeking a new candidate to run in her seat of Lindsay at the next election, and there's a bit of a delicate process of managing her while she's in that seat between now and the election. It'll be interesting to see what form the defamation proceedings take, but the pain of those allegations is visible on her face when she's speaking to Parliament, and she strongly refutes, you know, suggestions that she acted like Sharon Stone in a meeting with another Labor MP. Mm. So it's tough to watch because she is clearly very pained by this. Situation that she finds herself in.
Tom, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, PK. Thanks a lot.
Tom McElroy is a political reporter for the Australian Financial Review. 0418 226 576 is our text line. What do you make of today's parliamentary theatrics? And I think that's a fair word to use. Filibustering, putting off votes. How do they find the time?